here this morning.
Good, yes. Good.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, amen. Well, we are celebrating, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And really, the resurrection, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the central truth of the Christian faith. This is the very crux of what we believe. Right. And really, both spiritually, we believe it. We say we believe this happened spiritually, but historically,
yep,
also, it's the greatest epic moment that has ever happened on this earth. It's split time in half when you think about it.
True.
Everyone has heard of B.C. and A.D., before Christ. And then there's A.D., which is a Latin phrase for meaning in the year of our Lord.
Right.
And so we define time by before Christ and after Christ. And I've often thought of A.D. as just after his death.
Yeah.
After his death. You know, so after Jesus' death came resurrection and came life for us into the earth. And it's because Jesus lives, you and I can have new life in him too.
Hallelujah.
We've been singing about that this morning.
Awesome
worship. And we all do have this, so to speak, a B.C., a before Christ. Many of us, right? We have a B.C. before Christ. That may have been littered with
Shame and sin
and guilt.
Yes.
A past, regrets that we have, mistakes that we've made. But with the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection from the grave, Jesus paying the penalty for our sins.
Yes.
You know, we can all have a new beginning this morning. That's the good news. You
Amen.
Can have a new beginning because of the resurrection.
Yes.
And so let's just pray before we get into the Word of God a little bit. Father, we are so thankful that we're alive today, Lord. We're celebrating what you did for us, Jesus, on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Father, that you proved your deep love for us at the cross just by sending your son, Jesus, to die for us. And I pray, Lord, that every person within the sound of my voice would feel and know your love today.
Yes.
I pray that every doubt would be removed from people's minds. I pray that every fear would get swallowed up by the truth and by your life, Lord.
Yes.
And I do pray, Father, for every person who's wandered far from you, that you would draw them back by your love, Lord. Draw them back home, that they would make a decision to come home to you today.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray for every person who is lost and confused and hurting in this room and in this life at the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would hear hope, they would find hope, they would find forgiveness, and they would find new life in Christ, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we pray, Father, all these things in
Jesus' name.
Amen. So today we are going to look at about five important things that the resurrection means to us, all right? So just thinking back to that day, you know, as Jesus was crucified on the cross, we know that he was crucified on the cross. We know he was taken down from the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And when they buried him in a tomb, they put a rock tomb, similar to something like that in the picture, rolled a big stone in front of that tomb, in front of the opening. And then on the third day, scripture says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and they found it like that. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they're startled by angels that are in there, and the angels look at them as though, like, why are you startled? Why are you looking among the dead for the one who's alive? He's not here. He's risen. and the angel said, he's risen just as he told you when he was in Galilee that he would.
Right, right.
And this is Luke 24:7. He says, the angel says this, he's risen just as he said he would, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And then the women, it says, they remembered what Jesus said, and they rushed back to the disciples to tell them everything that happened. And when you read the story, the disciples are kind of in wonderment, but they're still not quite sure that this is true. They're not like, are you telling these ladies that they're blowing our mind? Like, what? You know?
They weren't convinced yet. But then what happens?
Jesus appears right in the same room they are. The doors are locked. The Bible says the doors are locked because they're afraid the Jews are going to get them next. So the doors are locked. And so there's an atmosphere of tenseness and fear. They're like, what's going to happen? And then here comes the report from the ladies. Yeah. And it's like, what? Then all of a sudden Jesus appears. Jesus appears. Now think about it. Yeah, everybody's jaws on the floor. And then what does he say? Typical day of heaven, I guess, and the resurrection is, why are you guys afraid? It's like, what? Yeah, this happens every day. Why are you guys afraid? It's just like what the angels told them. Yeah. Why are you guys off? What are you doing? It's like, this is the first time, I'm telling you. I am, oh my gosh. But then what does he say? Hey guys, they're still, they're freaking out. They're messed up. Because they just saw him tortured, like Isaiah says, where his body didn't even look like a human being. That's how badly he was beaten. They saw him hang there on that tree. They saw the soldier put the spear in his side. They saw blood and water come out. They saw him take down and put in the tomb. Then Jesus says what? Hey, got anything to eat? Look what it says here. I'm not kidding. I'm not making it up. Luke 24:3. Here's his first statement. Why are you guys troubled? And why did doubts arise in your heart? See my hands, my feet? It is me, I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said these things, he showed them his hands and he showed them his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and marveling, he said to them, hey, have anything to eat?
I'm like, what?
Yeah, what? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it right before him. It'd be like, could you imagine? Have some. And Jesus goes, oh, man, broiled. I was hoping it would be fried.
That's bad.
Well, let's think about the resurrection. I mean, now you've got to put yourself in a position like this because this is what happened, and you've got to add yourself into the story because this you're all about the story. The story's about you. Story's about me. Story is about all the world. This event wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done in secret. Jerusalem, they saw him crucified. But yet the Bible declares too that they also saw him walking around 3 days later. Could you imagine if you were one of the guys that put a nail in him and he appears to you? It's like, boom. But think about it. All Jerusalem knew that he rose from the grave. And eventually, all the Roman Empire knew that he... If CNN and Fox News were there, it'd be live right now. Here's the empty tomb. But you know that there's at least 15 historical recordings of Jesus talking with people, being handled after his resurrection. This is a historical fact.
Yeah. Yeah, the resurrection is a historical fact.
Right.
It, like you said, it wasn't done in secret. And, you know, we know the gospel of Luke. Luke was a physician.
Right.
And he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a physician. And he also, when you look up some history, he was a respected historian in that day. So he was a detailed man. He wrote down the details. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And in the first couple verses in the book of Acts, he writes this in Acts 1:3, that he, meaning Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs.
There you go.
Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Wow.
So for 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared and talked and even ate. You know, with his disciples. I mean, there's another story.
He probably said, what's for dessert?
Then the men in the room are like, all about it. Yeah, Jesus. Because this is really cool because during it's recorded, you know, that he, in the Gospel of John, when the disciples had gone out to fish, this is after Jesus rose from the grave, and during the 40 days that he was appearing to people, it wasn't constant. So they go out fishing. They fish all night, they catch nothing. And then they look on the shore, and there's a man standing on the shore who says, hey, did you catch any fish? And they're like, no, we fished all night. And he tells them to throw their net down. They catch this big haul, and then they said, come on to the shore. This is Jesus standing on the shore. Come on into the shore and have some fish. He made a little coal of fire, calls them to have some fish and bread with them.
Yeah, but here's the important thing too, guys. They counted the fish. There was 153 large fish. See? So when you're fishing, you can keep count.
Wait, what?
153.
You know, I think of it this way. Food on this man's mind. You know, if he's God and he's Jesus, you might think, well, he's going to stand on the shore and preach some sermon, I'm God. And no, we said this a couple weeks ago. We serve a relational God.
Yes,
he's
come on.
Into relationship.
Yeah.
He says, come on, have a bite of food with me. Let's sit down and talk and eat. That's the kind of God we serve.
Yes.
He wants relationship with us, and he wanted relationship with the disciples that day over a meal.
Right.
And it's recorded that he saw, that he over 500 people at one time saw him during these 40 days.
That's right.
Like, in other words, 500 people were, over 500 were together in one place, and he appeared to them.
Praise
and even
God.
This respected Jewish historian, Josephus, some of you have maybe heard of him, Flavius Josephus.
Right.
He was not a believer.
Right.
But he was a respected Jewish historian, wrote in his writings, he recorded that a resurrection did take place, that this man, this rabbi who was called Jesus, was seen walking around in
Jerusalem.
The streets of Jerusalem. So Jesus' resurrection isn't some fairy tale.
Come on.
Like people will want you to tell you, well, it's just a bunch of made-up stories. No, it's a historical truth and fact.
That's right.
And so we have to stop and consider what that means. Because you and I believe a lot of history, right?
Come on.
Well, if he lived and he did, Jesus, and this, as and we understand the story of why he died on the cross for our sin and he resurrected, let's just stop and consider what it means.
Yeah.
I grew up going to church, and we were there every Easter. I mean, we were there pretty much every Sunday. I was Catholic. And I heard all the time, Jesus died, he rose from the grave. You know, like I said, we were there on Easter with our new hats on, and you had to wear a hat. How many of you, if you grew up Catholic, you couldn't go into the church without a hat on? So there we were with our hats and our white gloves. I look at some of these old pictures, and I think, we wore gloves? How many of you wore some white gloves? Never? Well.
Chris, you did Chris not. That's messed up, man.
I can just see the picture of all my brothers and sisters and I were standing under always a flowering tree.
Yes, yes.
You know, holding our pocketbooks with a little prayer book that I knew I had inside there. Maybe some new pointed, you know, patent leather shoes or something on. But as a kid, I never questioned Jesus's death and resurrection. I just accepted it. But I have to say that you can begin after years and years of hearing without an much of an explanation. Mm-hmm. You just start to hear it with religious ears. It's like, yeah, I know he died. I know he resurrected, but he's Jesus. I guess he can just do that kind of stuff. Right? But his resurrection means and proves something really important to us that we have to understand.
That is for sure. You know, it proves that Jesus is who he claimed to be.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It proves. John 11:25. you know, what did Jesus claim? What did he claim? Who did he claim he was?
Yeah.
Look at what it says. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live.
Yeah.
The resurrection is not an event. It's a person. It's a person. And the truth is, come down to it, Jesus either is who he said he is, or either he's the biggest liar that's ever walked the earth. Another incident, when he came into, remember there's a scripture that says, the zeal for my Father's house will consume me. And when Jesus went into the temple, he saw money changers, guys that were in there selling animals that would be sacrificed. And they were hucksters. They were making the cash, you know. And so he was so upset with them. And he made a whip, and, you know, Jesus wasn't an easy guy at times. You know, he overthrew those tables. He chased them all out of there. You know, it wasn't like, oh, guys, will you please leave? This is not, you know, he's got flames in his eyes. You know, he's throwing these people out of the temple. And then the Pharisees come and say, who gave you this authority to do this? Here's what he says, John chapter 2, verse 19. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. They didn't catch on very quickly. But he's talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the body. If you're born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. That is pretty cool. So, what did he do? He says, really, in a sense, he's saying, you guys, you're going to destroy me, you know, and after you killed me, I'm going to raise up in 3 days and I'll be walking around. He's like, what? And he did. So, what he claimed and who he claimed he was proven because of the resurrection.
And he claimed to be the way,
yes,
the truth, and the life, right? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Come on.
Now, that's a pretty strong claim.
Come on.
He didn't say, I'm one of the ways to heaven. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways, which would be like saying, well, all roads lead to heaven. But think about the logic, or maybe to say the illogic, in that statement. It's like saying, I can take my cell phone and I can punch in any number or address and I'll get home. Would you get home if you did that? I mean, there's only one number and address
to get
that
home.
Takes you to your home, right? Not all roads are going to go to your home.
Come on.
And really, when you think about what Jesus is saying, I'm the way. He's the way to our eternal home.
Yes.
He's the number. He's got the number. He's got the address. You know, he has the keys to the house.
Amen.
To get there.
Glory.
So he's saying, follow me. I am the way to your eternal home.
Yes.
And then he says, I'm the truth. And don't we hear a lot about many truths these days? Your truth, we have my truth.
Truth is flexible.
Truth is flexible, you know. But there can't be all kinds of truth. It defies the meaning of the word.
That's correct.
Truth. What is truth? Truth is what anchors our soul.
Yes.
Because without truth, we're just tossed by every wind, so to speak, of doctrine, everybody else's truth. And Jesus told us where truth was. He said, my word is truth.
Yes.
He tells us that in the Gospel of John.
Hallelujah.
And it has the power, truth has the power to do something in our life when we receive it.
Come on.
He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set you free. Glory to God.
So it anchors us in reality. We all need truth because there's so many things going on in this world that's just chaos. My truth, your truth.
Yeah.
Thank God Jesus said, here's the truth. If you read my word, you will find truth in reality.
Yes. Praise God. Yeah. Another thing the resurrection proves and means is that Jesus has the power he claimed to have. You know, people say, well, it was the Jews and the Romans that put him to death, and technically they did. But it was all in accordance with God's plan to redeem mankind back. Amen. He had to pay a price because Adam gave us all away. Before you came to Christ, you were owned by the devil.
Yeah.
No way to escape on your own. That's why Jesus, God loves you so much. That's why he came to this earth and paid the price for the sin of the whole world.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's easy to do, sin of the whole world, because then now it doesn't connect with you. It was your sin that he died for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was my sin that he died for. Pastor Mamie says we have a BC before Christ. Yeah, I had one. Don't look at me with that religious face. Dang, guys. Jesus said he laid down his life. In John chapter 10, he says this. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. This is the charge I received from my Father. What did they do? They made sure he was dead. They pierced him with a sword after that ferocious beating. Took him down, threw him in a tomb. Well, Joseph laid him in a tomb. Then what did the Romans do? The Jews go, hey, we heard this guy say that he's going to raise up in 3 days, so get a bunch of soldiers around to make sure this doesn't happen. Yeah, he still did it. They could not stop him, no matter what it was.
Yeah.
Could not stop him. Glory to God.
That's power.
That is power. Are you kidding me? There's no other religious leader, none, that have died and raised again. Not one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Muhammad didn't do it. That's Buddha didn't do it. Joseph Smith didn't do it. They're all still in their graves, folks. No man has ever resurrected before Jesus or after Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. He is who he claims to be.
Yeah. Yes. Which brings us to another important consideration of what the resurrection means, is that Jesus does what he promises to do.
Hallelujah.
He does what he promises to do. You know, he predicted his own death.
Mm-hmm.
It's recorded that he said, you know, they're going to mock me, whip me, and kill me. But after 3 days, you're going to see me again. And when the Marys went to the tomb, this is in Matthew 28, 5 and 6, the angel spoke, it says, to the women and said, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. What? Just as he said would happen. Just as he said would happen. So what does that mean to us? Well, it means that Jesus does what he promises to do.
Yes.
He did what he promised. And it might sound simplistic, but his resurrection means he's faithful to his word.
Come on.
Like this word, when he says this is truth, we can trust that it's truth and have confidence that we're reading the truth. There are thousands of promises in the word of God. And when God makes promises, he's faithful to his word. He does what he promises to do.
Amen.
Right? You know what? But before, at the Last Supper, he said, when I'm gone, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. He'll be with you forever.
Yes.
And he's here. He's in every believer, and he is in the earth wooing people,
right,
convicting people of sin, drawing people to the knowledge of the truth, that Jesus is the Savior of the world.
Yes.
And so we can have confidence because he does what he promises to do. He keeps his word. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. That anchors our soul.
Yes.
in an ever-changing world, doesn't it?
Oh, my.
It's like, thank God his word is forever settled in heaven. So when you wake up and you read the news and it's like, oh, no, now what's happening? It's like, I need to settle and get the anchor going up here. It's like, this is truth. This is reality.
Come on.
And it helps explain what you see out in the world. So it begins to actually make sense and you could walk it out.
Yes, because he declares what's going to happen and we're in the middle of it. It's amazing. You know, Jesus did rise from the dead. And the resurrection, you know, it proves that he is who he claimed to be. He has the power that he claimed to have. And he keeps his promises that he makes. Praise God for that. And the fourth meaning of the resurrection is that, and this is really important for me, it's really important for you, it's really important for the whole world, is that our past can be forgiven.
Hallelujah, yeah.
Think about it. Easter is about the resurrection, but it's also about your sins and my sins being forgiven. Completely forgiven. We all have a past. We all have things we're ashamed of. But the power of what Jesus Christ did for us after that resurrection is that we can be forgiven. And people, you know, unfortunately, people get stuck in the past.
Yeah.
You know, they guilt. They're really, in a sense, buried by guilt or regret. And they're always carrying around baggage from what they did. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Yeah. We all lived in that. But the resurrection proves that our sins can be forgiven. Mm-hmm. It can't. Hey, any baby boomers in here? Remember Etch-a-Sketch? You mess up that picture really bad. You know, it's like, what is that? Well, that was supposed to be a tree. You just turn it upside down and shake it.
All right. Scrape it off.
Gone, baby. Gone. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of them. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, he, meaning Jesus, listen to this, canceled the record of charges against us and took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. You know, there's a true spiritual feeling you can feel of all that guilt, all that sin just being removed off of your shoulders. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You can walk out of here today knowing that every single thing you did wrong, everything you did accidentally wrong, everything you did wrong on purpose, mm-hmm. I was one of those guys, can be completely forgiven.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus, this is what it's called, the good news, the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel. The Father sent Jesus Christ not to rub your face in the guilt.
Yeah.
But to free you from the power of sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world.
That's right.
But to save the world. So we celebrate Easter. We're celebrating the fact that he took the penalty for our sin onto himself at the cross. Scripture says, without the shedding of any blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And the cross was the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And it was really the greatest expression of God's love.
Yes.
That the world has ever known. Would you give up your son for a sinner? No. Because it says even when we were dead in our sin.
Yeah, that was us.
It was us. That he chose to save us and redeem us. And so far from being just a ticket to heaven. Like sometimes people think, well, I know God and somehow may had some little relationship with him. Now I put the ticket to heaven in my back pocket. I'm good. That's not at all what the Bible story is about.
Amen.
It's not about a ticket to heaven.
Amen.
It's about, relationship. The door is open. Jesus also said, I'm the door. So through Christ, we can have a relationship again with our Heavenly Father that we lost in the garden. This is why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Right.
You know, if you give your life to Christ and you once you die and you go on into eternity, you will go back to the Father. We belong as children of God to an eternal heavenly family.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's beautiful. And so the resurrection, you know, as we've been going through this, means that Jesus claimed who he said he was.
Yeah, he proved it.
He proved it. He has the power that he claimed that he has by resurrecting from the dead. He does what he promises. The resurrection means my past can be forgiven. And the resurrection also means I can live with eternal hope in this life.
Come on.
Eternal hope. In this life, and really, when I have eternal life in this, or eternal hope in this life, it carries me into the next life. I have, when I die, I'll rise from the grave also.
Yeah, that's right.
To be with him. And to have hope in this life is so important because so many people are living their life now without any hope. Look at the world, just not knowing which way to turn. And it's going in every crazy direction because of it.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? And people are living in all kinds of bondages as a result of it.
Yes.
Drug addictions and sexual addictions and drug overdoses and suicide among young kids. Teenagers giving up their life, gender confusion, teens and young adults, older adults, people taking anxiety medicine. Why is this happening, we might say? It's because we have no anchor for our soul. Amen. We have no hope, really, without an anchor for our soul, which anchors us into truth and takes us on a path. Then we're like this. Maybe you're right, and maybe you're right.
Come on.
And in all of that, the confusion comes. And some people are, you know, there are people that have no hope in this world, and then there are people that are putting all their hope in the things of this world.
Right.
Only in this life. I mean, if you put all of your hope only in this life, like if you put all of your hope in politics.
Ooh. Yeah.
Politicians. Government systems. You know, I'm going to put all my hope in what the government tells me.
Right.
They're going to protect me. I hope COVID opened your eyes to a little bit of all that mess.
Yeah.
And fallacy. You know, if you put all your hope in what the school systems, the education is
Come
going
on,
to give
friend.
You and teach you.
Yeah.
If you put all your hope in following just the science, just give me all the science to explain everything.
Jeez.
Or you put all your hope in the economy, all my money is my hope. Or all you put all your hope in all the supposed experts.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to, well, we don't want to get there. And professionals. And people that call themselves counselors. You know. Even in, or you put yourself, you put all your hope in your own strength and smarts.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
just
figure
on.
This all out.
Yeah.
Jesus likened all of that to building your life on shifting sands. He said, you're going to build on a shifting sand.
Yes.
And you look around and you see the world building itself on shifting sands with all the great upheaval that we see in the world. And the reason for it, I mean, and this is why everything's going like this.
Yeah.
How many of you feel that way? Like, what is going on? It's because we have no firm foundation. We've lost. We've thrown it out, really. And yet the storms of life will come. To all of us. What do? We have to be, Jesus said, the storms of life are going to come to all of us.
Right.
Right. And he tells us in the Word of God that if you build your life on me, you build your life on the Word of God.
That's
when
right.
When the storms come, your house will stand. The wind and the waves are going to blow against it, but that house will stand. But
it
it's
will.
The house that's built on sand that's going to be demolished.
You know, Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble in this world. He didn't say that this is all pretend. It's going to be wonderful. If you, I can make your life better. No, he didn't say that. He says, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But then he says,
but take heart.
Take heart. I've overcome this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where you go to the anchor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where you're in a firm foundation. That's why the Bible says in Luke, he says he dug deep and built his house on a rock.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
To change your life. Change my life. I mean, everybody has a BC. Come on. Did he change your life?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. You know, but this, look at what, just as you take Christ as your Lord and your Savior, look at what he says here in 1 John chapter 5. This is, we too, like Pastor Mamie says, we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He intertwines with your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And so that overcoming power, that resurrection life that was in Jesus Christ, he's sharing with anybody who calls on his name. Yeah. And look what he says, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God, what is it? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yeah.
The power that raised him from the dead dwells in you. Yeah. Do you understand that? Right now. You got to think about this. Because you could think about it religiously. Just like, oh, I guess it's God. He could do that kind of stuff. No. God is saying, I'm wanting a relationship with you, and I want to show you how to overcome the world.
Yeah.
And we ignore him. But not anymore, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to get serious about that. No more lukewarm monkey business. We're going to start to dig deep and have this resurrection life where we can sense it as we make decisions throughout this life that are going to be contrary to the culture.
Yeah.
But we're going to be standing strong and firm, said, no, this is right. This is truth. And you'll stand.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, rose from the grave?
Yes.
Yes. Well, let me ask you another question. Do you believe he died on that cross, was buried, and raised up again for the forgiveness of your sins? Yes. Yes. Yeah. And if you answered yes, you know something miraculous happens inside
That's
of a person.
Right. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Because when we ask God to forgive us our sins, he does.
Yeah.
And we're born of his spirit. We're absolutely born of the Spirit of God. The Savior, the one who created all things, everything we see and everything that's not seen, comes and dwells within you and me.
And it, you know, to have that happen, and I really never understood this. Somehow, as a Catholic, I never understood about a confession of faith. I know we said a lot of prayers. We said a lot of words. But, you know, you can say words and prayers just with your mind in a whole other place. You're just kind of repeating because you've memorized something.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no, there's no heart to it. You're just saying it because you've memorized it.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture actually says when a person believes in their heart, and what do they believe? They believe what we're saying here about what Jesus was doing on the cross for us. And we make a confession of faith in that. And to do that, a person really has to see they need forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
Because you could still make a confession of faith without any recognition of a need to have your sins forgiven, and it really won't go anywhere. It just becomes something that you said, and it's like, I don't even know why I said it, what it actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
But something miraculous happens in a person's heart when you understand, no, if I die today, sin actually is going to keep me separated from God. You recognize the blackness of sin.
Yeah.
And you recognize the glory of what Jesus did for you. And it takes humility. It takes humility to say, I'm asking you, God, to forgive me.
Yes.
and I want you, Jesus, I'm asking you to be my Savior. It takes humility of heart to do that. But something miraculous happens when you do that, because this is all done by faith. This is up on PowerPoint, John 1:12. It says this, but to all who did receive him, this is the disciple John who penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit this gospel. He said, but to all who did, because he said, many came, saw him, and looked right past him. Yeah. They didn't recognize him. It's like, oh, you're just another man, because he did look just like another man.
Right.
But to all who did receive him.
Yes.
Who believed in his name, what did he do? He gave the right to become children of God.
Glory to God.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? You become a child of God. You'll look the same on the outside, but something in the heart, something
yes.
inside in your spirit, God is spirit, and in your spirit, you know,
yes.
I'm changed. Like, I'm a different person. I might look the same, but I am a child of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
An amazing, miraculous promise. When a person turns in with their whole heart
yep.
in repentance, and that's part of it too. It's like, I don't want to live that old life. And he'll give you power to live a new life.
Amen.
Like, sometimes people hesitate because they think, well, I won't have the power to follow God. No, you won't on your own.
Come on.
But when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the
yes.
inside of you,
yeah.
you have resurrection power now as you talk to God. God, help me with this. God,
yeah.
show me. See, it's about a relationship. It's like Jesus saying, come on, sit down with me. Talk with me.
Let's have something to eat.
Let's have something to eat. yeah. But when a person turns with their whole heart, and the word in the Bible uses is repentance, which
yes.
means a turning, and has faith in what Jesus did,
uh-huh.
and trusts, that's all it takes to receive salvation and eternal life.
Yes.
It's a gift. You cannot earn salvation.
That's right.
You cannot do enough good works to earn your place in heaven. We are called to do good works after we give our life to Christ. It's not that good works don't matter. They absolutely matter, because they actually show the fruit of
yes.
what we believe. They show who lives on the inside of us and really who our Lord is.
Come on.
But you'll receive salvation and eternal life simply by faith and believing.
Uh-huh.
And then here's another wonderful, powerful promise from God that is available for everyone. This probably is a scripture that most people in the world have heard somewhere along the line. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
This is why he went to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes.
That's the good news. That's the good news this morning. You don't have to perish. And that's another understanding of the story of the Bible.
Right.
There is eternity we all face. We will all face eternity. When you die, you don't just your body just doesn't get put in the ground. Your spirit and soul go somewhere.
Right.
And there are only two places, Scripture says. Eternal life with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth,
yes.
and the life. I'm the way back to the Father. Or eternal death in hell. And this is why we shout the good news. This is why when you come into a church and people understand this and we're worshiping, maybe some of you are new to church, you come
yeah.
in and you see people shouting, going, yeah, and raising their hands. It's because you understand,
yes.
I'm not going to hell. I'm like walking with the Lord. I have eternal life on the inside of me. You get excited about it. You just
yes.
can't help but get excited about it. It's
That's
not
right.
just some religious thought, well, Jesus died and he rose from the grave and then I walk out of church and...
No, with your white gloves.
With your white gloves and pocketbook. No, it's like if you come in with a hat on and you really know what
yep.
Jesus did for you, your hat might you might walk out of church with your hat a little tilted.
Because yeah.
you're like, yeah, I got excited today
come on.
About understanding what the Lord did for me. And that my life now has meaning and
yes.
purpose.
Come
it's
on.
Beyond a ticket to heaven. When you read Scripture, you realize he has a plan and purpose for every single person's life.
Come on.
How exciting is that?
Yes. You know, but there is a little bit of bad news I have to share with you.
Bad news?
Yeah.
After all this good news?
yeah. It's all been good news, but there is bad news. There really is. Everything that we talked about, it sounds really good, that's for sure, but, you know, You come to this church, we're going to tell you the full gospel. There are consequences of rejecting the love of God. There are consequences about refusing to ask for forgiveness of your sins. I mean, you can forfeit resurrection life. You can forfeit your sins being forgiven, but there is consequences to this, and it's really simple. You can find it throughout the Bible. Jesus tells many parables about the same thing, like the fig tree that has no fruit on it. Talks about 10 virgins. 5 of them are foolish. This is serious stuff. And he's doing his best to let people know. And take a look. If you just simply say no in your heart to God, the gift of life that he's offering us, it's dangerous. There it is, John 3:36.
You forfeit it just by your own choice.
Yeah, you're the one who forfeits eternal life.
Yeah.
And you stand on your own credit, and the goal and the passing the test means you're perfect, and nobody is perfect except Jesus Christ.
Scripture says we've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Let's look at this. Yeah. This is sobering. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. This is a pretty strong scripture.
Yeah.
God the Father sent Jesus Christ so that anybody who calls on his name can escape eternal death.
Yeah.
And honestly, it grieves God's heart. He's offering his Son. He watched his Son pay your sin debt. And you're rejecting it. And the truth comes down to you condemn yourself because of your choice of rejecting Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But I don't think you came to church this morning looking for a reason to reject God. You know, I believe you came to church this morning looking to find hope.
Yeah.
Looking to find answers, looking to find a chance for new life, to find something out about God.
Mm-hmm.
And we say this again, God proved his deep and lasting love for you and me at the cross when he gave up Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice for us. There's really no greater expression of love for you.
Yeah.
And this is personal. It's for you. I mean, the cross, when we look at the cross, it removes all doubt.
Amen.
Or it should remove all doubt. Who would give up their only beloved son for the sake of a sinner who might have spit on him and mocked him? But he said, I'm in love, I'm going to do this so that there can be salvation brought to the world.
Yes.
The cross is a deep reflection of the love of God for
us.
And it should remove all doubt that you were worth the death of Christ. You were worth the death of Jesus. That's how much we're loved by God. You know, and the good news is this morning, you may walk in a certain way. You may walk in feeling like I have guilt, I'm confused, regret over my life. But you can walk out this morning with your sin and your past wiped clean.
Hallelujah.
That's an awesome, awesome truth and promise. A child, you could become a child of the living God.
Yeah.
A person who I look the same on the outside, but often I've seen this in people after they give their life to Christ, their countenance changes.
Yes.
There's something about their face. Sometimes it just lights up. It's like, what's different about you? They can't quite put their finger on it, but it's like, you have the life of God going on the inside of you and the promise of eternal life and the knowledge that he loves you. He's for you.
Yes.
Jesus did not come to condemn the world, condemn us in our sin. He came to save us from our sin. And you could walk out of here today, leave church today as a new creation, a child of God. with eternal hope and the power of God on the inside of you, and begin to live a life that is actually anchored in truth. No more tossed, I don't know about this, I don't know about this. Because when we give our life to Christ, he becomes our Lord.
Yes.
He's not just Savior, but he becomes our Lord. And so we take everything to him. Lord, help me with this. Lord, show me about that. Lord, forgive me for this. But only you can make a decision. Only you can make that decision. It's a choice.
Yes.
It does require a response from our heart. Because the Bible says, you know, if we believe in our heart about the death and resurrection of Christ and that he rose from the dead, and we confess that he rose from the dead for us, you'll be saved.
You'll be saved. Praise God.
But again, only you can make that choice. And we've been praying that every person in here today would make that choice. Today is the day of salvation.
Today is the day for a new beginning, a new life to start. Let's bow our heads for a moment. You might be here today and you're saying yes, yes to Jesus, yes, yes. But let me start in a different way. Maybe you once said a prayer. And you thought you gave your life to Jesus, but, you know, really there's no fruit in your life whatsoever. And you don't really obey him. And you strayed far away from him. And your relationship with him has really soured. But today, you know, you want to come back. You want to come back to him. And today, you know what? He welcomes you back.
Yeah. With open arms.
With open arms. You know, and you can.
Anybody in here feels like that? Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Maybe you feel like, yeah, I'm coming back. I once said this prayer, but I want Jesus. I want you to be the Lord of my life.
You know, it's that relationship that he's looking for. An honest relationship. And, you know, you could pray something like this. It's like, Jesus, forgive me for taking my own path. Doing my own thing. I'm coming back to you today. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And I want to thank you for forgiving me and giving me eternal life. And help me to bear good fruit.
Yes.
And stay on that narrow path all the rest of my days.
Yes,
something like that.
Yeah. Or maybe hear you this morning and you do feel like, yeah, my heart is saying yes to Jesus. But again, you know that you don't know him. You know you aren't right with God.
Yeah.
And you're saying, but yet you're saying, yes, I do want my sins forgiven. I want my past gone. And I want to begin a new life with you. And you're saying to yourself, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. Take over all of me. Like, be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to receive resurrection life.
Yes.
You're saying yes to Jesus. Like, if you're in here this morning and that's you, and we often ask people, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. This is a holy moment if you want to give your life to Christ. I know it takes courage.
Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father.
Yeah.
Don't be left out.
Yeah. And you're saying, yes, I want to have my sins forgiven. I want my past made clean. I want you, Jesus, to be my Lord. Is there anybody in here this morning? Because we just pray a simple prayer with you.
Just simply say this. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, Lord.
Let's just pray this prayer together then.
Yeah, let's all say this.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm asking you to forgive me.
I'm asking you to forgive me.
Of my sin, all of my sin.
Of all my sin.
I'm asking you to come and live in my heart.
I'm asking you to come and live in my heart.
Take over my life.
Take over my life.
Be my Savior and my Lord.
Be my Savior and my Lord.
I'm turning away from my sins. I'm
turning away from my sins.
I'm receiving your resurrection power in my life right now.
I receive your resurrection power.
From this day forward, I give you my life.
I give you my life.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.